Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. For people experiencing homelessness, getting medical care can be extraordinarily difficult. Without transportation, insurance, identification, or a permanent address, routine appointments and prescription medication may be out of reach. Chronic illnesses can worsen, minor medical problems can become emergencies, and patients may leave the hospital with no safe place to recover. These challenges are becoming all the more urgent as homelessness rises in San Antonio and Bexar County. The region's 2025 point-in-time count increased more than 3,600 people experiencing homelessness, a 7.5% increase from the year before. Health professionals, social workers, educators, and community advocates recently gathered in San Antonio to examine how the region can provide more effective and coordinated care. The 11th Annual Healthcare Institute Conference focused on the challenges and possible solutions involved in caring for people without stable housing. Joining us to tell us more, we're joined by Sonia Renee Harden, who had is a dean and professor of UT Health San Antonio School of Nursing. And Sonia Harden, welcome to The Source. Great to have you.
Thank you.
Also with us is Norma Martinez Rogers, a PhD, a professor emeritus at UT Health San Antonio School of Nursing, founder of International Association of Latino Nurses, Faculty, and Nurse Leaders. And Norma Martinez Rogers, welcome to The Source.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And also with us is Kimberly S. Cox, a PhD, RN, the director of the Accredited Provider Program, Department of Lifelong Learning, UT Health San Antonio School of Nursing. And Kimberly Cox, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
So what brought this problem to your attention? How did y'all decide this needs attention, it demands attention, Sonia?
Well, our students typically have an opportunity to go and help take care of the homeless. We have a program that's called Street Nursing, whereby the students go out on the street and provide wound care to those that need it. They also have an opportunity to go to Haven for Hope, Corazon, Sam Ministries, and they also go over and volunteer at Travis Park United Methodist Church. So
they saw it for themselves.
Yes. Yes.
And that there's a chronic need here, and they brought it to your attention that there needs to be a level of organization, understanding, solution finding.
Definitely solution finding.
And so, Kimberly Cox, you know, what are you seeing here? What do you want the public to understand about the relationship between homelessness and healthcare?
I think the important thing to know is that homelessness is such a wicked problem, and there's so many complicated aspects of it, but often we overlook healthcare. And how do these people engage with the healthcare community? How do they access healthcare? And how can they do that from where they are? And so I see the most important thing as professionals, educators, policymakers, advisors, community members, and the actual people who experience homelessness coming together to go beyond just being aware of this problem to trying to find solutions and strategies and ways to help beyond just perhaps throwing money at it or saying, you know, well, they need to do this or they need to be healthier. That's not where they are. So we need to meet them there and work together as a community to try to impact some change.
Norma Martinez Rogers. What medical problems are most common that people are experiencing in homelessness? What are you people seeing? What are the biggest issues?
Well, substance abuse is a big issue, but open wounds, ulcers on the body are major problems, and also because of their eating habits or lack of eating sometimes, is just in general their whole chemistry becomes an issue. And one of the things that we have found is that most of them are smoke, So smoking becomes, lungs become a problem with them. And but what we find most of all is that because there's lack of care, medical care, and there's little brought in medical care, they go into a revolving door in the hospitals. And that we call it revolving door because they're in and out of the hospital. Diabetes is a big issue. Open wounds is another issue. And if you're diabetic and you have an open wound, that becomes even more severe. So
you see a lot with mobility issues.
Yes.
You know, and maybe they're in a mobility chair or they're on crutches and those things are not in good shape. I know there's Project Mend in San Antonio that
right.
tries to provide a better access to those devices. But it's just a challenge.
It is a tremendous challenge. And one of the things that we did learn is that you cannot treat the homeless or the unhoused, as we now call them, in a silo. It's got to be a team approach, and you have to work with others to help them to be able to get the resources that they need.
You know, you keep mentioning the open wound situation, and I've been doing all this research and reporting on the screw fly thing. And those screw fly goes to open wounds and they lay their eggs. And in the reporting, we keep saying it's rare that it hits people, but it's not rare. It's in central and Mexico, they had over 2,000 cases of people getting screw fly. This is something that it is a threat to our unhoused population, people who are outside who have wounds. So I think we need to keep an eye out for that.
Absolutely. And actually, in our School of Nursing, Dr. Diana Cavazos, who leads a lot of the students in terms of giving care to the homeless, is that the number one issue that they treat is the wound care. Because a lot of times you come into those wheelchairs or those walkers, or mobility units, because of the wounds that you've had that have affected you and you can't walk anymore.
Yeah, you see a lot of amputations.
Yeah.
I've seen it myself. So Kimberly Cox, someone goes, they get evicted, they go out on the street, they're on the street for a year or two, and it seems like they've aged 10 years. I mean, it really just takes a toll on a person, particularly the lack of sleep. You can't get a good night's sleep, and that just has a wear and tear on you that you really start to fall apart from there. Have you seen that?
Yes. What I learned from our recent Healthcare Institute conference, one of our speakers shared her lived experience as a wheelchair. She uses a wheelchair. And she told us that you can't sleep because you're trying to guard your possessions, whatever that is. It's valuable to them and their sense of self and their life.
That's all they have.
Right. And so if you go to sleep, then, you know, anyone can come along and take that. And so they don't get any rest. And I'm sure, you know, everyone knows how, particularly recently, sleep has been stressed is so important to your overall health and well-being. And yet, they can't reach it. But what was really impactful listening to her was, one, finding out about that. Two, finding out the things that we don't consider, like how to build trust, how to speak to people, to engage them, to assess their situation, see what their needs are and what we can do. And the things that she advised, she's like, offer them a cigarette. You know, she's saying this to a room full of health professionals. And it's like, okay. But she's like, hey, if you really want to begin to build trust and get them to listen to what you're saying, a cigarette is a good entry point.
Sonia Renee Harden, what are the significant obstacles who are preventing unhoused people from receiving routine medical care?
I would say access, the ability to have transportation. And there is transportation here in our community, but people don't always know about it. And of course, there are costs if you take the bus, but access is definitely number one for me. They're, you know, concerned about the stigma, you know, going in and seeking health care. One of the things that this conference really focused on was respect for our fellow human being and the ability to look people directly in the eye and not to avoid them on the street, because they are individuals, regardless of what their needs are.
Can they receive health care if they don't have ID, if they don't have a permanent address? Is that a barrier?
There are places where they can receive health care. Travis Park United Methodist Church actually is open on Sundays and Wednesday evenings, and they do have someone there to help them get an ID. So there are services, but you need coordination. We need more social workers who are helping to manage cases.
Getting an ID, if you have nothing, like even if you had an episode and you've lost everything and you have to start from scratch, that is an all-day process. It is not easy to accomplish. And it also requires resources in order to pay for everything that you got to get. So, and without that ID, you basically don't exist. So it is a huge barrier that we've got to figure out how to expedite that or do something for people. Anyway, we got to take a break here. Our phone lines are open. You got a question or a comment about how can we as a community do something to provide health care to people who are experiencing homelessness. They can make a huge difference in people's lives. We have to take every opportunity to do something to help relieve suffering at every opportunity. The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, and we'll be right back.
Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about an issue for the unhoused in San Antonio. So many people out on the streets for one reason or another. Sometimes it's because they just can't afford housing, and they are dealing with a lot of healthcare issues. They're out in the elements. We're talking about the extreme heat, the extreme cold, dealing with all sorts of challenges, issues of security. And so what can we do to provide health care for these folks? And we have solutions are being sought by UT Health. We're talking with Renee Sonia Hardin, who's the dean and professor at UT San Antonio School of Nursing. Norma Martinez Rogers, a professor emeritus, UT Health San Antonio School of Nursing. And Kimberly S. Cox, the director of Accredited Provider Program, Department of Lifelong Learning, UT Health San Antonio School of Nursing. And you can call in. The number is 833-877-8255. And so let me ask you, how difficult, Sonia, if you can answer me this, how difficult is it for an unhoused person to obtain and safely store in prescription medication?
Not very safe at all. Very high risk and likelihood that it could be stolen. That's part of what we were talking about earlier with sleep. And there are individuals that may need to sell their medication in order to buy food.
Even if it's just like it's not an opioid, it's just a regular medication, they still are unable to hang on to it.
Yes.
So Kimberly Cox, people using the emergency room. So what is that, you know, repeated use of the emergency room for healthcare? What does that tell us about the weakness in providing health and social services?
Well, the initial view is that we don't have proper healthcare and proper spaces and places for people, and our system is so heavily based on ability to have that ID, to have insurance or some type of insurance or be able to pay. And so instead they go to the emergency departments, which is the most expensive place to get health care. And it sort of perpetuates our system because the business of health care sucks that up, but then I think it gets passed along in other ways. And so it's just a vicious cycle of not having appropriate care at the right level. And for people who are either underinsured or not insured to get care. And so it's a frustrating situation. And sometimes they don't go there because it could lead to other problems for them socially. So it's their only resource, but it's just not the best resource.
Norma Martinez Rogers. So how can someone actually follow the medical instructions that they've received after they leave the emergency room to get rest, keep a wound clean, avoid extreme temperatures? You know, when they don't have stable housing, it seems like these instructions are not going to be able to be complied with.
Well, it's very, very difficult for them. And you're right, they probably don't comply. But the other issue that we have to deal with when they go to the ER is that the mental health issues that they have. And because of the mental health issues, if you give someone who is, for instance, schizophrenic, and you're giving them all these directions, when they're hallucinating, hearing voices, it's very difficult for them to follow whatever it is that you're saying, because the voice might be telling them to do something different. And that is the real major problem. And, you know, one thing that you with the unhoused is that you cannot force them to stay in one place. That is something, a choice that they have. You know, even if Haven for Hope, for instance, offers them a place to stay, they may not want to stay there. They're very loyal in their own little colonies. And they probably feel safer there. And when you're asking them to follow a medication procedure that doesn't fit in with where they're living, it's not going to happen.
Well, I was talking to a homeless guy the other day, and he's saying that, I asked, why don't you go to Haven for Hope? And he says, well, you know, I have my girlfriend, partner, and that she is on meds, and she said they would take those meds away from her. She couldn't have access to them. And they were going to be separated at Haven and all these other issues. It sounded really complicated, and so it was just easier for them to be out on the streets.
It is complicated, but one thing that Haven for Hope does have is that they do have, for instance, camping gears and stuff that they give to the unhoused so that they have fresh materials to sleep with and towels and something. But they do give them camping gear, like a tent.
Yeah.
If they need that, because I believe that we all recognize that we cannot make the unhoused be as we want them to be. They are individuals. Most of them have mental health issues. Many of them have substance abuse issues. And all of them have physical disorders.
How important is just a clean pair of socks for these
Very
guys?
Important. You know, in the military, they would tell you the best thing to do is to keep your feet warm and keep your good socks on. And it's the same thing for them.
So solutions. How are we going to deal with this? What are the solutions that are being developed, Sonia?
Well, I will share that last week I was at Travis Park United Methodist Church. They have a building that they're going to be renovating in order to expand services to the homeless. But that in itself requires the community to come together. And they did. They brought many voices to the table to begin envisioning what that building could be and what it would look like. So we have a lot of wonderful resources in this town. but ensuring that the people on the street get to them is often the biggest challenge.
Cortison Ministries, they have a mobile health unit. Does that go out there and deliver the needed resources? And so what about collaborations, Kimberly Cox?
Yes. Speaking of the mobile health units, of course, with Dr. Cavazos and the street medicine issue, she does nursing. UT Health also has folks who do the street medicine part where they actually go under the bridges, meet the folks where they are. And then the other solutions to me, and this in my wheelhouse is professional development and continuing education, is the fact that we need to continue to engage with the community, with the unhoused, with those people, because we need to bring them in with the policymakers, with healthcare professionals, with educators, with interested bodies in the community, and work on the solutions. The conference that we have each year allows us to bring people across Texas, San Antonio, the nation. They come, and as they listen to each other share their stories, their experiences, their best practices, lessons learned, then they get tips. And I was able to speak with some people who said, hey, this was really good because we don't do that in my town, but what you guys are doing here is something that I can take back. And I look forward to the next year so that we work on more strategies to address the issues. And some of them are small, you know, they're not major. But again, I'm a proponent of bringing the community together, something we call community-based participatory research, which is different than our traditional, like, hardcore science. But you are involving those community members as actual participants with the studies, trying to find the ways and what matters the most to them. Because as Dr. Rogers and Dr. Harden alluded to, they see themselves as individuals in a certain situation, and they want that respect first before we start working on ways to help.
And so, Norma Martinez Rogers, what are the concrete actions that you want participants, elected officials, the broader San Antonio community to take?
Well, I want them to be aware, for one, of...
But we need money, right?
Yeah, of money. Yes, that's what I was just going to say. I want them to be aware that we need money. Not only,
I mean, public health dollars are in short supply.
We need money, but we also need to get the city to get larger foundation groups to work together to be able to come up with a specific plan on how to work with the unhoused. It is a very complex, it isn't something that's going to be done simply. It's a very complex problem. We had, at our conference, we had 11 states that were involved in our conference, including Washington, D.C. And I can tell you that every single one of them are facing the same issue that we are.
But we're talking about human suffering.
Yes.
Say what you want about people. They should not suffer needlessly.
Right.
And if we can do something, we should do that, you know. And we're not talking about huge investments. You know, we squander away money all the time on ridiculous things, but this is something that can be done to relieve human suffering.
Well, and the thing is, it's like I said before, is that you cannot work in a silo. We have to work together as a community.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I thank you, Norma Martinez Rogers, Professor Emeritus, UT Health San Antonio School of Nursing, Sonia Renee Harden, Dean and Professor at UT Health San Antonio School of Nursing, and Kimberly S. Cox, Director of Accredited Provider Program at UT Health San Antonio School of Nursing. Thank you all so much. Thanks for coming in today and helping us understand this problem better, and maybe we can come up with some good solutions. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
The largest sports tournament in the world is about to arrive in Texas, the 2026 FIFA World Cup.
Teams from across the globe are set to play at Dallas Stadium and Houston Stadium in June.
Whether you're a diehard fan or just a little soccer curious, we've got you covered.
When the World Comes to Texas is a new podcast from KERA News.
We'll talk to the people holding down the sport and the culture here in Texas.
It's out now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.